Today's daf is Zvachim daf Nuntes, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Nunches Amid Beis. Yesterday, we began the sixth parak in Masechta Zvachim, parak Kodshei Kodashim, which, as we saw, picks up with a fifth parak left off, and that is Ezeu Mikoyman Shal Zvachim. The Mishnah began with a chiddush that even though Kodshei Kodashim Shchitasim B'Tzafon, stating that Rosh HaMizbeach is like Tzafon, according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, only the Tzofen part of the Mizbeach, but the bottom line is, Rosh HaMizbeach has a din of Tzofen. We explained that maybe that's why the Akedah took place, but Rosh HaMizbeach, even though the Pasuk says clearly that Hashem told Avram, Kachnas binchas yechidcha asher ahavta, v'aleu lo'oila. Yitzchak had a din of an oila. If he had a din of an oila, and the Rambam says, b'miktash nekad Yitzchak, like the Brisker Rav was medayek, that the Akedah went with a mahalach of mikdash, meaning it was governed by the Shulchan Aruch that governs avodos that were done in the Beis HaMikdash, wasn't there a halacha of tzofen? The teretz is this Mishnah. Avraham Avinu was going like the Mishnah. The Masechet Zvachim daf nun ches amud aleph that kachi kedoshim sheshachnim b'rosh hamizbeach ki'ilu nishchutav b'tzofen. Either way, from there, the Gemara digressed a little bit into a discussion where exactly was the mizbeach. Meaning, was the mizbeach b'tzofen? Maybe it was bedarim. Perhaps it was chetzi b'tzofen and chetzi bedarim. And in the course of its lengthy, detailed technical discussion, the Gemara mentioned a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. The Mishnah was discussing the Marocha Shniyah that was on the Mizbeach Achitzain. The purpose of the Marocha Shniyah was twofold. Number one, the Kohen every day would take coals from the Marocha Shniyah, bring it into the Heichal, and use those coals for the Ketores that was brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Additionally, on Shabbos, when the Shnei Bzichei Levoina were burned on the Mizbeach Achitzain, they weren't burnt on the Marocha Gedayla, but rather they were burnt on this Marocha Shniyah. The Mishnah says that it was important for the Marocha Shniyah to be Kenega the Pesach of the oil moed, and as a result, it had to be removed 4 amos to the north of the Kerem Marovas Deroimus. And somehow by doing that, it would end up being Mul Pesach oil moed. And the Gemara backed in, therefore, to a position of what the Tana of that Mishnah must have held about where geographically the Mizbeach was in the Azar. Because if the Mizbeach was completely on the Dharm side of the Azara, then moving the Marocha Shniyah 4 amas from the Kerem Marovas Dreimus wouldn't really get you very far. You would have to move it 27 amas or 22 amas. You'd have to move it really, really far. The Gemara Lemaisa came out that the Tana that Mishnah could hold either the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin or the Mizbeach was Chetzi Bidarim Chetzi Bitzafin. There was a Mahalach to make it work with each one of those positions. Regardless, the Gemara picks up on that note. Again, we discussed that in great detail in yesterday's daf. But on that note, trying to understand who the Tana that Mishnah is. Says the Gemara of Rav Shravya, Amar Rav Shravya, says, Amani Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you know the Tana that Mishnah is, it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Meaning the Mishnah is going that the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin, but the Tana the Mishnah that holds that the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin is Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Where do we find this Rabbi Yosi Aglili? The Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Yomer, Mitoik Shenem Avanasato Sakir, Bein Oyo Moyed, Uvein HaMizbeach V'nosato Shamoyim. And it also says the Shochat Oysoi V'mizbeach B'Pesach Oyo Moyim V'loikir B'Pesach Oyo Moyim Heichan Hoyo Noisnoi. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili had a stira. He had two psukim in the Torah that he believed contradicted themselves. Number one, there's a pasuk that says that the kir was supposed to be between the Oyo Moyim and the Mizbeach. So it sounds like you want to know where the kir is. It's in the Azara. It's smack between the Oyo Moyim and the Mizbeach. Mitzad Sheni, Rabbi Yosi Aglili had another pasuk that seemed to suggest that the Mizbeach had to be facing the entrance of the Oyo Moed, and it couldn't be anything else between the Mizbeach and the Oyo Moed. So the question was, it's a stira. Here you say that the key is supposed to be between the Mizbeach and the Oyo Moed, and here I have a pasuk that says that nothing is supposed to be between the Mizbeach and the Oyo Moed, meaning the Mizbeach itself is what's supposed to be Pesach Oyo Moed. So as for Yosi Aglili, Heichan Hoyo Noitznoi, so how did you make this work? How do you reconcile these two psukim? So he says, Beino Ulam, Ulam Mizbeach, Mashuch, Kimo klapi dorim. You're right. You have to say that although the pasuk says that the kir was supposed to be between the oil moed and the mizbeach, it wasn't literally between the oil moed and the mizbeach. It was mashuch kimo. It was removed a little bit to the dorim side of the mizbeach, but not literally between the mizbeach and the oil moed, because it's true, there's a pasuk that says Venosata Sakir ben oil moed u'mein mizbeach, but there's another pasuk that says Veis mishkan ha'oilo sham pesach So I have to reconcile these two psukim. I'm forced to say that the pasuk that says that the kir was between the oil moed and the mizbeach is not meant to be taken literally. The problem is, and this is really the backdrop for the next half of Amud Gemara, is why is it a stira? If you look at the pasuk that says that the kir had to be between the oil moed and the mizbeach, it says v'nasata sakir bein oil moed uvein mizbeach. So as long as it's between an area called oil moed and an area called mizbeach, it's going to be fine. When the pasuk says v'es mizbeach ha'oil sam pesach mishkan oil moed, the Torah says that the mizbeach ha'oil had to be by the pesach of the mishkan oil moed, specifically by the pesach. So why can't you just draw it up that the Mizbeach Ha'ilah is going to be by the Pesach of the Mishkan Oyel Moed, meaning there's going to be nothing between the Mizbeach and the Pesach of the Oyel Moed, stating that the Pesach was only 10 amas wide. So that it's possible to put the Kiyar a little to the Darim side of the Pesach of the Oyel Moed, but it could still be between the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is 32 amas. It's a 32 amas square. The Pesach is only 10 amas. So it's true, there can't be anything between the Pesach of the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. But nobody says there can't be anything between the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. The criteria, that second pasuk that Rabbi Yosef Aglili quoted said, "Veis Mizbeach Ha'Oyel Sam Pesach Mishkan Oyel Moed." So you're right, you'll have nothing between the Pesach of the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. But at the same time, you'll be able to have the kir between the oil moed and the mizbeach, not between the pesach of the oil moed and the mizbeach. Rabbi Yosef Aglili felt that that wasn't a possibility. So much so that Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, "I have no choice but to distort the simple meaning of the pasuk and say that even though the Torah seems to want you to put the kir literally bein oil moed and mizbeach, it's not going to be literally. It's going to be mashuch kimo klapei darim." So the Gemara is going to say now, from here you see what Rabbi Yosef Aglili must have thought in terms of where exactly the mizbeach was, and based on the way his blueprint of the Azara was, there was no way to make these two things work. And let's just play it out. It says the Gemara, "My kusavah, what does Rabbi Yosef Aglili hold in terms of where the mizbeach was in the Azara? If he held that the entire mizbeach was bedarim, so what's the stira? Like we just spoke out, nukme mi koisel heichal ule darim. So what's the big deal? Why can't there be nothing between the Pesach oil moyed and the mizbeach, and just move the kiyar to the darim side of the pesach? The whole pesach that's on the darim side is going to be sachakol 5 amas, because the entire pesach oil moyed was 10 amas. 5 of it is on the tzafin side. 5 of it is going to be on the darim side. Just have 5 amas where there's nothing between the mizbeach and the oil moyed. That's how you mekayim the second pasuk veis mizbeach oil sam pesach mishkan oil moyed, and right to the darim side of where the pesach is bein oil moyed or bein mizbeach, you're going to put the kir. What's the big deal? Additionally, and if you're going to tell me, Dainu bein ulam lemizbeach inami kasavak kedushas heichal ulam chadi, and even if you're going to tell me, the Rabbi Yosef really holds that kedushas ulam beheichal is chada, which means, as we saw in yesterday's daf, today's daf is a continuation of yesterday's daf, the first part of it, so that the Pesach ha'ulam is treated like the Pesach ha'heichal. So that if the Torah says ve'is mizbach ha'oil osam Pesach mishkan oil moed, it also means that it has to be some Pesach mishkan ha'ulam. So if the kir can't be between the mizbeach and the pesach ha'heichal, it also can't be between the mizbeach and the pesach ulam. But it's still not such a big deal. Nukme mi kaisel ulam uladarin bein ulam the mizbeach. It's still not a problem, because how wide was the pesach ulam? It was 20 amas wide, which means 10 amas of it was on the tzafin side, 10 amas of it was on the darim side. If the entire mizbeach is on the darim side and the mizbeach is a 32 amas square, so even if you don't want to put the kir between the pesach ulam and the mizbeach, so 10 amas of it is off limits, but there's a lot more space. There's more of the ulam beyond the pesach, which is considered oil moed if you hold that the kedushas heichal and the kedushas ulam is chada, and just put the kir between the mizbeach and that area. So clearly, if Rabbi Yosef Aglili felt there was no way to reconcile this psukim, he was not of the opinion that the entire mizbeach was on darim. Because if the mizbeach was on darim, it's easy. And the Gemara says the same will be true. Not because of a chetzi b'sav chetzi b'darim. Even if Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds that the mizbeach was chetzi b'sav chetzi b'darim, the same cheshbon we just made, nukmi mikoisel heichal uladarim, it's still not a problem. Because if half of the mizbeach was on darim, half of the mizbeach was 16 amas. Let's just speak it out outside. How wide is the pesach ha'heichal that's on the darim side? The entire pesach is 10. It's split between darim and tzafin. So 5 amas are on the darim side. And even if you want to work with the entire pesach ha'ulam, because you're going to tell me, k'tushas heichal, k'tushas ulam chadehi, the Pesach Ulam was 20 Amos, which means half of it is 10. So at the end of the day, there's still going to be 6 Amos, because there's 16 Amos of Mizbeach on the Dorim side, and the most there is 10 Amos of Pesach on the Dorim side, which means there's still 6 Amos of Mizbeach. There's a little bit of Ulam on the Dorim side of the Pesach where you could put the Kir. So you'll be able to be Mekayim ben Asato Sakir ben Oyel Moed uvein HaMizbeach, and you'll also be Mekayim ben Mizbeach Oyel Osam Pesach Mishkan Oyel Moed. So see in Tzavina Mikasavar, says the Gemara, Chetzi B'Tzavi Chetzi B'Dorim Nukmi Mekoysel Heichel Ulam Bein Ulam LeMizbeach Vinam. You can't put it right to the Dorim of the Heichal, because it's still not, you're still not going to have the Mizbeach Mul Pesach the Ulam, and you're saying now Kedushas Ulam VeHeichal Chadi. But okay, so Nukmi Mikaisel Ulam Uladarim Bein Ulam Ulam Mizbeach. What's the problem? There's still sticks Amos to play with. Elamav Mishum the Kasavar. It must be Rabbi Yosef Aglili held Kulam Mizbeach Bitzafin. The entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin. Kinami Mukmesla the Gersois are Meshubash here. Kinami Mukmesla Mikaisel Heichal Ulatzafin Havalei Bein Ulam Ulam Mizbeach. Either way, the bottom line is, it says the Gemara, the only way to understand why Rabbi Yosef Aglili couldn't learn these psukim kipshutai is because he held the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin. So what if the entire Mizbeach is Bitzafin? If the entire Mizbeach is Bitzafin, then there's no way to move the kir to the Darim side of the Mizbeach and for it to still be between the Mizbeach and the Ayom Ayed. Because if you're going to move it to the Darim side of the Mizbeach, then there's going to be no Mizbeach on the other side of it. So the only way to understand why Rabbi Yosef Aglili had a mevucha and had no way of understanding the psukim is by understanding that Rabbi Yosef Aglili must have held him a time as Mizbeach was Bitzafin. But the Gemara asks the obvious question, and that is, v'nukmi mikoysa ulam ulitzafin v'bein ulam ulitzbeach, why can't you just put the kir on the tzafin side, make the same exact cheshbon that the Gemara made? Meaning, we're saying, you had a somehow we're working with this premise that the kir was going to be to the south, to the Darim side of the Mizbeach. If it's going to be the Darim side to the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is completely Bitzafin, then obviously it's not going to be Bein Oyel Moed or Bein Mizbeach. But why couldn't the kir just be on the Tzafin side? Oh my God, Rabbi Yosef Aglili knew the following pasuk. Tzafina, there's an extra hey, she ate Tzafin Panami Kalim, that there was not allowed to be any Kalim on the Tzafin side of the Mizbeach. I mean that there couldn't be any Kalim, and it had to be on the Darim. And Rabbi Yosef Aglili held that the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin. So if you're going to now move put the kir on the Darim side, obviously it's not Bein Ulam Ulam Mizbeach. Very simple. So if it's not Bein Ulam Ulam Mizbeach, the pasuk says V'nasata Sakir Bein Oyel Moed Uvein Mizbeach, must be it was Moshuch Kima Klapei Hadarim. But the pasuk's not supposed to be taken literally. It says the Gemara, Man Tana Depolig Led Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Who is a Tana that argues with Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Rabbi Lezav Ben Yaakov Tanya went to the Brayz. Rabbi Lezav Yaakov Omer Tzafina She Ate Tzafin Panu Miklum Va'afilu Min Hamizbeach. Wow. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds Tzafina has to be Panu Min Hakelim. That's how we knew that the kir couldn't be on Tzafin. And that's how we knew that he had no choice but to distort the literal meaning of the pasuk regarding the kir. There happens to be a shittas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that holds Tzafina, that there was nothing on the Tzafin part of the Mizbeach. Even the Mizbeach itself couldn't be Bitzvayna Yishal Azar. Either way, so there were three shittas in the Gemara of exactly where the Mizbeach was. We had one shita that said that it was on the Tzafin part of the Azar. Kulim Mizbeach Bitzafin Hay. Rabbi Yochanan started the sugi that said, Omer Hayy Rabbi Yosi, the Mizbeach was Kuloi Bitzafin. We had Rabbi Yosi Aglili now. We just saw from this Bryce, Rabbi Yosi Aglili also holds the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin. We had Rabbi Yehuda Shita yesterday that the Mizbeach was Chetzi Bidarim, Chetzi Bitzafin. We just had a Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there couldn't be anything Bitzafin. Even the Mizbeach, Tzafina Shei Panoi, there couldn't be a Kier in Tzafin, there couldn't even be a Mizbeach in Tzafin, meaning it was Kuloi Bidarim. So three sheets. Was it Kuloi Bitzafin? Was it Kuloi Bidarin? Or was it Chatzi Bitzafin, Chatzi Bidarin? Now this is all with regards to the Mizbeach HaChitzai. What about the Mizbeach HaPnimi? What about the Mizbeach HaKtayris that was inside the Heichel? So that's a Rashi Chumash. Rashi says in Parshas Truma that the Mizbeach HaPnimi was Memutza, it was smack in the middle of the Heichel. Between the Shulchan on the one side, the Menorah on the other side, facing the Aron, it was in the middle of the Heichel. So literally the midpoint of the Heichel, right in the smack in the middle, that's exactly, says Rashi Chumash, where the Mizbeach HaPnimi was. There's an interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, and it's interesting that the Netzivan, his Meshav Dover, was kemat mechaven to the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. The shayla that was asked to the Chasam Sofer was, there was a shul that was knocked down. It was a small shul, and Nisrabu Asafsolin, they were making an extension, building campaign, the whole nine yards, and now they're building a new shul, albeit a bigger shul. And when they designed the bigger shul, so the architect drew it up with the bima, instead of it being in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses, it was going to be towards the front of the Beis HaKnesses. Now, the previous shul had the bima in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses, the way most shuls have it, but apparently the architect drew it up where it was going to be really, really nice by doing it this way. It was pushed for aesthetic purposes. It was going to be in the front of the Beis HaKnesses. And then a Shaila tumult broke out. Are you even allowed to do that? Maybe a Beis HaKnesses is dafka supposed to be, the beam is supposed to be in the middle. Who says you're even allowed to put it in the front? So the Shaila was sent to the local rabbi who forwarded the Shaila over to the Chassam Sofer. He wanted to know the Chavis Das of the Chassam Sofer. Is it okay to build a shul where the beam is going to be in the front of the shul? So the emphasis is, it's a Mefurish Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefila, Perikir Aleph Halacha Gimel says, Boinim Teva Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses. He's supposed to make sure that the bima, which the Rambam explains, was used for Kriyas HaTorah, it was used for the Rabbanim to get up and you know, to speak from behind the pulpit. That was the purpose of the bima. And the Rambam says the bima was built Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses. Why? Kidei Sheyishmu Kulam B'Shav. And he gives a very practical reason for it. Because you just want it to be equidistance from everybody. If you're going to be in the front, now people that sit in the back aren't going to be able to hear so well. And if it's going to be in the back, people in the front. And if it's going to be to the one side, people on the other side won't be able to hear. So you just put it in the middle, says the Rambam, very push it, praktish, kadesh, yishmu, kulam, b'shava, like this, everybody is going to be able to hear equally. Says the Kesef Mishnah, that based on the time of the Rambam, I think we could be melamed chos on something that I've seen. Because he said, I walked into Bati Knesias and I see the beamers in the front of the shul. And really, it's connected to Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says it's supposed to be in the middle. The Teretz is very posh, because the Rambam himself gave a reason for it. He said the reason is kadesh, yishmu, b'shava. So he says, once upon a time, there were very large kehilos and there were big shuls where the bima would have been on one side of the shul, maybe you wouldn't have been able to hear from the other side of the shul. But he says, today, most shuls are small, you have kleine shtiblach, they're not so big, and it doesn't matter where you're sitting, you can hear just as good. So it says this Kesavishne, he says it's based on that I want to be melamed chus on the fact that I've seen many shuls where people, they put the beam in the front, but the bottom line is, the Chassam Sofer says, and he tells the shoyel, this Rav, Yofa Kiveh, and of course, you know, you went immediately to the right place, somebody asks you a shayla, he's supposed to open up a Rambam, Ahava, Hilchas Tefila, Perik Yerad of Halacha Gimel, and you're supposed to show this Kesef Mishnah where it sounds like it's not the end of the world. Kesef Mishnah already said he saw it, and the Kesef Mishnah said already that he was Malamed Tzchus, so it doesn't sound like it's such a big deal. But Lemaisa, the Chassam Sofer himself wasn't happy with it. And the Chassam Sofer asked the Geshmak HaKashi, yes, that we all know the Gemara Masech HaSukkah, the Gemara talks about the shul that existed in Alexandria. Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishalei Ra, Diyo Flustun Shal Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, Lai Ra B'Kfoidin Shal Yisrael. It was so unbelievable. It was an amazing sight to see. And the Gemara goes on to say that you had this massive shul where there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews that davened there. And it was such a big shul that it was impossible to hear anything. So what happened was, when the Shliach Tzibur would get up and he would say Chazar Sashatz, he would go Moedim, he would say Kaddish, so they would pick up these flags and they would wave flags like this. People knew that the bracha was being said to answer Amen. This is a makar that you could answer Amen even if you didn't actually hear the bracha. Oh, discussion in Halacha. But the bottom line is, that's what they used to do. Says the Chassam Sofer, go through that brisa inside. Listen to a diak of the Chassam Sofer. So the brisa says that kol mishal leirah du filusin shal alexandria shal mitzrayim leirah b'kfayin shal yisrael. Kimin besilki gedoy lahoysa stav lefnim mistav. Pamim shahayu kiflayim kiyotze mitzrayim. That's a very big number. And there was a bima. Where was the bima? In the middle of the shul. And they used to put all the accountants together, all the lawyers together, because they felt that, you know, nobody wants to share trade secrets. If you put all they can, no one's going to want to talk. They don't want to tell anyone who their clients are, or, you know, what the latest regs are, or whatever. It's like this. They felt this would be a good school to get people not to talk so much. This is before people used to whatever. But that's what they used to do. But the bottom fake, I'm sorry for, I don't understand. You have this massive shul. You have literally hundreds of thousands of Jews. If that's what the Gemara says. And nobody can hear anything. They're waving flags in Yom Tov and Nevachim, right? Pashas, you should be able to answer, amen. But where was the bima? It was the Emtza Beis HaKnesses. If the Kesef Mishnah is right, in the way he understands the Rambam, that the whole purpose of putting the bima Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses is for practical reasons, so people should be able to hear equally. So why did the Gemara have to emphasize that the bima was in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses? There was no practical significance to anyways flags. See, you could have put it on the side, you could have another flag, says the Chassam Sofer. Nobody heard. I mean, this was, you couldn't hear anything anyways. So why was there a kpeda to make sure that the bima was going to be in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses? Says the Chassam Sofer, it's clear to me from this Gemara that it's not just practical that you're supposed to put the bima in the emtza of the Beis HaKnesses. That's the way it's supposed to be. A Beis HaKnesses has a tzura. And the tzura of the Beis HaKnesses is that there's a bima in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses. There's an Aron Kodesh in the front, the rabbi's chair one side, the president on the other side, and you have a bima in the middle. That's the way the shul is supposed to look. And that is the tzura of a Beis HaKnesses, regardless of whether you could hear or you can hear. What does the Kesef Mishnah mean? It's the Ayin Shom B'Chassam Sofer, if you want to look it up. It's an Erech Chaim Simin Chof Ches, where the Chassam Sofer discusses this Kesef Mishnah. But he says the bottom line is that that's the way it's supposed to be. The question is why? Where does this tzura come from? So he says, I believe it comes from the fact that we know that a Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at. And the Beis HaKnesses was supposed to try to make it as similar to the Beis HaMikdash as we could possibly make it. And just like the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal had a Mizbeach. The Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi was in the middle of the Heichal. That's where it was. It wasn't on the front, it wasn't on the back. He says, don't you think you could have argued that maybe the Mizbeach should have been a little closer to the Aron Kodesh? To the Aron, make it as close to Lefnai v'Lefnim as possible. But there was a Tzura. The Tzura was, it was supposed to be B'merkaz. It was supposed to be B'emsa. That's where it was supposed to be. And as a result, our Mikdash Ma'at was supposed to make it as similar as possible. And he brings rayas that the Bima is somehow related to the Mizbeach. He says, Hishana Rabba, we take our Hishanas and we're makif the Bima. Just like once upon a time, they were makif the Mizbeach. Regardless, the Bima is like the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Why the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Because the Beis HaKnesses is inside. So it's like the Heichal, and by the Heichal, it's a Rashi Chumash says the Chassam Sofer. Everybody agrees this is the way it's supposed to be. That's the bottom line. It's interesting. The Netziv was asked a very similar Shaila. It's a Meshav Dovar, Chelek Aleph Simin Tezvav. And again, same Shaila. Question was, can you build a shul where you're going to put the bima towards the front, closer to the Aron Kodesh, not being in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses? And he writes a very, very similar tshuva to the Chassam Sofer. Comes from a little bit of a different angle, but the same punchline, that the reason the bima is supposed to be in the middle isn't simply for practical reasons, but it's because it's a mikdash ma'at and it's supposed to be doimit to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Heichal, the Mizbeach HaPnimi was in the middle, so therefore this is supposed to be in the middle as well. But it's interesting the way he starts it. He says that, I'm a little worried. Do I think it's such a big deal? He says, no, I don't think it's such a big deal. But you know, this is something that you're changing Mesaira, and you're doing it befarhesia. You know, to change Mesaira, shtila hayit, is one thing. Bechadri chadarim, belel shimurim, where no one's watching, and yeshamim ben amazikin, you know, maybe you can get away with it. But to do it befarhesia, that every Amoritz is going to walk into shul, and he's going to see, they already moved the bima to the front. You know, one shinui is going to lead to another shinui. He says, I don't think this is such a big deal. But you know what? It is a slippery slope, and it can lead to something very, very bad. You know, the Chassam Sofer very often used to write in his tshuvas, whenever somebody would present him with a new idea, he would say, chadash is awesome. It's a famous line from the Chassam Sofer. He quotes it in this tshuva right here, and the Netziv also says it. He says, "Alzeh nemar kol chadash asim in atayra." So they were both mechaven to the same lines as well. But the bottom line is just something light and interesting that's learned out from this sugya. Zok de Gemara, and the next Gemara is a classic when you're in Brisk. Zok de Gemara, Amar Rav, Mizbeach shenifgam. If the Mizbeach was Nifgam, meaning it was ruined. Kol hakochim shenishchutu sham psulam. A new halacha. So if the Mizbeach Achitzayim became pogum, part of it got chopped off, for example. So all kochim that you shech at the time that the Mizbeach is nifgam is pasul. Said Rab, umikra haya biyadenu. We had a pasuk once upon a time to support this halacha, which chachnu, but I can't remember the pasuk. He saw the Rav Kahana, where Rav Kahana came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Ashkechid Rav Shimon, Rabbi Dekama, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi. See, overheard the following memra that Reb Shimon the Rebbe was saying in the name of Shob Rabbi Yosef. How do you know this halacha that mizbeach shenifkam all the kachim are pasul shenema v'zavachta olav esayloi secha ve'eshlamecha v'chi olav ata zaveach? Were you supposed to really shech the karbonis on top of the mizbeach? So yesterday we saw two pshat. Rashi said in Chumash, what does olav mean? Olav means next to it. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda in the first mission, the parak said, "What does olav mean? Literally, olav a chiddush that kachik kadoshim sheshachnu beroisham mizbeach. It's keilu nishchata betzafin." Rabbi Yossi had a third mahalach. He was bothered. V'chi olav atazayveach. The purpose of the mizbeach is to shecht oilos and shlamim on top of the mizbeach. You don't shecht it on top of the mizbeach. Oilos abetzafin. Shlamim is bechalo azar. But it's not on the mizbeach. Elo, you know what olav means? Kishehu sholem v'loy kishehu chaser. It has to be Shalom, not chaser. Rashi says olav is like bishviloi. When there's a mizbeach, then it's vizavachta oilus v'shlamim. But if there's no mizbeach, then there's no vizavachta oilus v'shlamim. Either way, Rav heard that. Omar, he said, "Hainu krodesh namid leidra." This must be the pasuk. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan had a little bit of a different version of this halach of mizbeach shenifka. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh psula. That this halach of mizbeach shenifkan is true not only if you shecht the animal while the mizbeach is nifkam, but even if someone is merely maktish an animal, he says harezu oila. So you have a carbon oila, and now the mizbeach is nifkam, even though you weren't makriv the carbon yet. The halacha is you're going to have the halacha of mizbeach shenifkam. So according to Rav, the only time the mizbeach shenifkam disqualifies a carbon is if you actually shechted the carbon. So if you shechted a carbon, now the mizbeach became nifkam. Now you can't do the avoda. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even if you were only makdish the carbon, you didn't shech the carbon. You were merely makdish it, and then the mizbeach became pogum. That's enough that you shouldn't be able to do the avoda. But my pligi, what's the machlik? Is Rav savabali chaymein and so we're familiar with the halacha of dochi, that once a carbon becomes pushed away, it becomes pasul. Even if later the psul goes away, it remains pasul forever. Rav held that a bal chai, when an animal is alive, it can't become dochi. So even though when the mizbeach was nifkam, for the moment you weren't able to do the avoida, but being that the animal was alive, so there was no psul dochi. Now that the mizbeach was fixed, now you could shecht it and you could do the avoda. What's the problem? Rabbi Yechanan holds balichai nitchen. So once the animal became nitcha, after it became hektish, before the mizbeach became, when the mizbeach was pogo, so now even though you fixed the mizbeach afterwards, there's no way to be able to bring it. So this shaila of whether you'd have the halacha mizbeach shenifkam for an animal that was merely hektish but wasn't shachar yet, l'chair is talian, whether bali chayim nitchin or whether bali chayim ain't nitchin. Rav sover bali chayim ain't nitchin. That's why the halacha mizbeach shenifkam is only true if you already shechted. But yechon not bali chayim nitchin. Meisvel ask you a kasha. Kol hakachim show you ad shloy nivna mizbeach. All the kachim that were around before the mizbeach was built. Va'acha kach nivna hamizbeach. And afterwards, the Mizbeach was built, so the halacha is possible. So the price is a little bit sasum, as we'll see. The Gemara is going to have four or five attempts to try to understand Pashup Pshat and what the price is saying. But for now, the words of the price. So somebody had kachim. Before the Mizbeach, there was no Mizbeach, but he had kachim. Then they built the Mizbeach. The question is, can I now take this kachim and bring it as a carbon or not? That's what the price is addressing. Kol ha-kachim shehoyu ad shelo nivna ha-mizbeach, va'acha kach nivna ha-mizbeach, so, freight the Gemara, Nivne Tchuyim Ekarnin. Why should this be possible? Why in the world should this be an issue? Why should there be a problem with Kachin that you were Machdish before the Mizbeach was built? Now that the Mizbeach was built, any issue that you may have had, you don't have anymore. Elamai, you're going to tell me, because of Psul Dachoy. But this is already what's called Dachoy Meikar. Meaning, in the Sugis of Dachoy, there's a Machloikis Amayuroim, where there's something that was Dachoy the moment it became Hekdish, is subject to the psul dachoy or not subject to the psul dachoy. I mean that it's a machlokes ha-meiroim, it's obvious that there's no mishnah or no brisa that says mefurish one way or the other. If you're going to tell me that the way you're supposed to read this brisa is literally that we're talking about kachim, that somebody was makdish before the mizbeach was built, and even if when the mizbeach is built later it's still possible, so you see that something that's dachoy meikar like this, because the moment you made it hektish, it was already dachoy. It was dachoy because there was no mizbeach to be makriv it on. So you see that something that's dachoy meikara is subject to the laws of dachoy. And we know it's a machlokes ha-meiron. Obviously, it can't be a mefurish b'raisa. So that must be that. That's not what this b'raisa means. Ella, you know how you read the b'raisa. Kol hakochim shahoyu ad shaloi neras ha-mizbeach. So this is going back to the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Imagine that. So somebody had kachim at the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
The animal's still alive. It made it through Galus Bavel. Now there's already Bayasheni, and you want to go bring it now for Bayasheni. Maybe that's what the price is saying. That kachim that was around, not actually Nivna HaMizbeach, because that would be Dachi Meikar. It was around at the time of the Mizbeach. It wasn't Dachi Meikar. Then the Mizbeach was Chare, because the Beis HaMikdash was Chare. And now you want to bring it during Bayasheni. But the Gemara says, Ha'iskabu. How are you going to bring that? That's an old animal. And we know an animal can't be too old, two, three, whatever, depending on the animal. But it's called a Psozake. This animal's for sure too old for you to be able to be makrivit. Hello, you know what the Braisa probably means. Not actually, we're not talking about Churban by Yisrishayim. This is not a Master Shahaya Kachaya. That's not what's going on over here. Ela actually Nifkana Mizbeach. We're talking about someone was Makdish, a carbon. The Mizbeach was fine. Then it was Nifkam HaMizbeach. And then somebody fixed the Mizbeach. So what's the halacha? And still you see Psulin. Even though you didn't shecht it. It doesn't say you shechted it over here. So isn't this a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, a kasha and Rav? You see, the halach of Mizbeach Shenifgam is true, even if the animal wasn't shechted, because Balei Chayim Nidchen. But isn't this a mefurish a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rav? So the Gemara says, Rav is going to tell you, this is a mefurish a braisa. This braisa, we did reconstructive surgery to this braisa. The braisa said one thing, you know, four renditions later, we finally have a braisa. V'lav terutzei kam metartzis. We edited this braisa so much, no, edited a little bit more. You can add the word shenishchatu already, and you're right. The braisa is telling me halacha regarding mizbeach shenifkan. Even though the braisa doesn't say anything about shchita, the braisa doesn't say anything about mizbeach shenifkan either. So once you insert the words nifkamu, you might as well insert the word nishchatu as well. As a result, this braisa could shtim with anybody you want this braisa to shtim with. Frank the Gemara, kasho. But I'll ask you something else. Could Rav really be so worried? Rav could be involved in this discussion of Mizbeach Shenifkam Kol HaKotchem Shenishchutu Sham Psulim? How does it stem with something else Rav said? From Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin K'toiris Bim Koimoy. If the Mizbeach was Nekar, obviously the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's where the K'toiris was brought, so you can bring the K'toiris on the Makam HaMizbeach. You don't physically have to bring the K'toiris on the Mizbeach, but you can bring it on the place where the Mizbeach was. So what do you see from there? That you don't even need the Mizbeach HaKtoiris to bring the Ketoiris. So how could you tell me that if the Mizbeach HaChitzoin is Nifkam, you're missing a little piece of the Mizbeach, that's it, all the Karbanos are possible. Why? Because you have no way of doing this Rika now. It's learned from a Pasuk, V'zavachta all of us, L'Yisecha V'Shlomecha. I'm not going to get into all the Briska Lundas, that if there's a Psul Dachli, so why do you even need a Pasuk in the first place, Reb Chaim and the Briska Rav? So we're not going to do that. But the bottom line is that the whole Halacha seems to be predicated on the fact that if there was no Mizbeach, so there's no way to do this Rika. It's for that reason all the Karbanos are going to be possible. The question is, only the Karbanos that were shachot, even the Karbanos that weren't shachot, Balei Chayim Nidchen, Balei Chayim Einu Nidchen, but it's predicated on the idea that if you're missing a corner of the Mizbeach, so to speak, the whole Mizbeach is off limits. Rav holds, you don't even need a Mizbeach. Rav holds, you can bring the Ketoiris where the Mizbeach was. Mizbeach, not Shenifkam, Shenekar, the whole Mizbeach was picked up and it was removed. Says Rav, Bimak the Ketoiris Bim Koimai. So you would think that if the Mizbeach Achitzin, it's not the same Mizbeach, but if the Mizbeach Achitzin is missing a little piece, that shouldn't disqualify the whole Avodah. Says the Gemara, you have to say, Kedama Rav, Rav said, Moida Hay Rav Yehuda Bidamim, Hachanami, Moida Rav Bidamim. Just like Rav Yehuda said, with regards to something else. What's that something else? It's going to take us into tomorrow's daf. We'll see that in a moment. But just like Rav Yehuda, Rav said with regards to something else, that Rav Yehuda was Moed B'damim, you'll have to say here too, that even though Rav holds that Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin K'tiris Bim Koimai, it's only the K'tiris. It's not Damim. It's a Mizbeach. It's a Mokoim Haroi Lehaktara, but it's not a Mokoim Haroi Ledamim, it's not a Mokoim Haroi Lezrika. So it's true, you can remove the Mizbeach HaPnimi and you can bring the Ketoiris. But if the Mizbeach HaChitzain is Nifkam, it knocks out the entire Mizbeach HaChitzain as it relates to Zrika. Because Mokoim HaMizbeach is like the Mizbeach, but only Le'inyan HaKtara, not with regards to Zrika. Excellent. So before we go weiter, because although we're in the middle of a Cheshbon, but the Gemara is going to digress now completely, really into tomorrow's daf, to just one horror. So the Gemara mentioned over here a Braisa. The Braisa was very sussum, was very ambiguous, not clear what the Braisa means. Ultimately, the Braisa said that the Braisa is referring to is the halacha of Mizbeach Shenifkam. We thought we had a right to Rav Yechon, not like Rav, and the Gemara said, V'laf terutzi kam etartzis, you don't have a right to anybody from this Braisa. It's not a Braisa you can bring rayas to. Because this whole Braisa is very unclear, and we had to rework the Braisa. So,
Just like you can't ask kashas from this brisa, you can't ask some brises in Shas that are just sort of off limits. You can't bring rice from them, you can't ask kashas from them. Clearly there was some mistake in this brisa. This is an example of such a brisa. But one of the attempts the Gemara made to explain the brisa was maybe the brisa is talking about somebody that had a carbon from Bayis Rishon. He was around by Bayis Rishon, he had a shepsela, he was makdish it, he was going to bring it as a carbon. Nevuchanetzar, Nevuzradin, Galus Yechanya, Galus Sidkiyo, the whole nine yards, paras madai, and this animal amazingly makes it around to Bayis Sheni. Now Bayis Sheni comes along, he wants to bring this as a carbon. This was a carbon, you've been waiting for this day. Could you bring it or not? So the answer says, well, maybe that's what the price is referring to. But Frank the Gemara, how could there be such a price? We know that an animal has to be of a certain age in order for it to be right for a carbon. Once it gets beyond that age, it's called Zokin, it's a psul zikna. So l'chura, this animal certainly is going to have a psul zikna. There's no animal that could be 70 plus years old and be roi lakrop. What happened to the psul zikna? Tosfos, and this Tosfos is on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So Tosfos asks Akasha that if there's a psul zikna, how do you understand the following medrash? So it's not every day that Tosfos quotes a medrash. But Tosfos over here has a medrash in Devarim Rabbah, where the medrash says that when Shlomo HaMelech, B'yom Chanukas HaMishkan, brought Purim, he brought cows as part of his hakrava. The Gemara is going to talk soon about the amount of karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech brought. B'yom Chanukas HaMishkan, B'yom Chanukas HaBeis HaMikdash. So he brought Purim. Those Purim have a little history. Those were the same Purim that the Nevi'im that used to carry the Arin in the Mishkan. So you had Purim that used to carry the Arayin, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, those same Purim were the Purim that Shlomo HaMelech brought. Freik Taisak Asha, Psul Zikna, I mean, these Purim are hundreds of years old. How in the world is that possible? So it says, Taisus, you have to say a Rosh HaHaisa. And Chanami, ordinarily, it's something that would be possible. It must have been a Hirosha that in this case, it's going to be okay. Yaakov Emdin in his Hagois Yaivit says that, what's the beer? He said, the beer is probably very simple. This idea that an animal can't be old in order for it to be Roy as a carbon is not because there's some technical halacha that has to be of a certain age. Once you hit a certain age, so now you can drink, now you can drive, right? Now you can do certain things. It's not what it is. It's based on the animal itself. As an animal gets older, it becomes shvacher, and the Torah wants a young, fresh, gesunta animal to be brought on a car on the mizbeach. But an older animal, at that point already, it's not so right. Being that these animals miraculously were able to live hundreds of years, obviously they were made up of something else. Hashem performed a miracle. There was something supernatural about these parim that they were able to survive so long. But it sounds like they had frisha koiches. Oh, they had frisha koiches. So it says that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, it's poshut, that that's the reason it was going to be okay. It's the chiddush here is the fact that these parim were alive. But once you establish that this miracle took place, he says, I don't think it's so shver. It's a rush. I hear, but says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the svar is poshut. The svar is because the whole idea of the psul zikna is that there's something different physically about the animal. These animals were not physically different. Being that they weren't physically different, it makes perfect sense that this should be okay. And then Rabbi Yaakov Emdin concludes with a punchline. But before the punchline, a little bit of background. So yesterday we spoke a little bit about the Akedah. I mean, we spoke a lot about the Akedah. The emes is, there's a big kasha that the Rishonim and Achronim ask regarding Eloi Shel Yitzchak. And that's based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos from all places, Perikei Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah over there says, Asara Dvarim Nivru Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. There were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. The Elohim, Pia Oretz, Pia Be'er, Pia Aslein, HaKeshes, Haman, Hamate, VaHashomer, HaKsav, HaMichto, VaHaluchas, VeYeshoimrim, Afam Azikin, Ukfurase Shel Moshe, VeElohim Shel Avram Avinu, VeYeshoimrim, Af Tzvas, Betzvas Asuya. But one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah that was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes is Eloi Shel Avraham Avinu. Shtelzach the Fraga, Eloi Shel Avraham Avinu was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. If it was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes, then Luchura, when Avraham Avinu brought it as an Oila, it was already a Zakein. If it was a Zakein, what happened to the Psul Zikna? So the truth is, if you look at Rabbi Vadya Bar Tanura, if you look at the Rav on this Mishnah, so the Rav says, what does it mean that the ayil was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes? It doesn't mean the ayil itself. It means it was destined at that point that the ayil would one day be nechas besvach bekarnov, and that it one day would be brought as a carbon tmuras Yitzchak. And instead of Yitzchak being brought as a carbon, it would be the ayil that would be brought as a carbon. But not that it was literally created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. Why did the Rav say that? Maybe to answer this kasha, because otherwise you can have a psul zikna. But the Rav Bar Tanur is a very big chiddush, even though
the Rav Bartanur is to Mishnah, it's like Rashi is to Gemara. That's the Pashup Shat. But really, it's a Chiddush because it's Midrashim that say clearly that the Ayil was created literally Erev Shabbos Mein Hashmashos. What happened to the Psul Ziknos? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right after he explains this Tosfos, this idea that the Purim that were around in the Midbar are the Purim that Shlomo Melech is bringing, he says, but this, he can answer this Kasha as well. How do you understand that Eloi Shel Avram Avinu was what? Was created Mein Hashmashos? What happened to the Psul Ziknos? It's the same Teretz, because the whole Yisoid of the Psul Ziknos is it's not Slecha, it's all the Tshlach. And the idea is to bring a younger, healthier animal as a carbon. This animal obviously was young and healthy, otherwise it wouldn't have been around so long. So being that it was anyways young and healthy, that's why it was okay. It's interesting, by the way, there's another significance, another connection between Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos of that first week of Brias HaOlam and the Akedah. And that is that Avram Avinu goes to the Akedah and he rides on a donkey, on a chamor. Vayachvish es chamor. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and Perek Lamed Aleph says, this chamor that Avram Avinu rode on, hu ha-chamor ben ha-osoin shenivris ben ha-shmashas. So one of the things that was created, Erev Shabbos ben ha-shmashas, was the pi ha-osoin. That's the pi ha-osoin of Parshas Balak fame, of the story of Bilam and the donkey. So says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the chamor that Avram Avinu rode to the Akedah was the son, hu ha-chamor ben ha-asayn, shenivris ben ha-shmashas. It's interesting, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer continues and says, hu ha-chamor, that's also the chamor, shirochav olav Moshe bevayu l'Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu took his family, he left his shver's house, and he goes to Mitzrayim now, that's going to be the aschalt of the geula. So he rides on a donkey. That donkey was the same exact donkey that Avram Avinu rode on. And then the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, hu ha-chamor she'asid ben David l'rkav olav. This is the chamor that David HaMelech is going to ride on. She'nemar zechariah perek tes, gili ma'oid basiyah in hari basri yishalayim, hinei malkech yovay lach tzadik v'noi shal, ani v'roichav ala chamor. What's that chamor? Ani v'roichav ala chamor. It's the same chamor. So it's the chamor of Avram Avinu by the Akedah. It's the chamor that Moshe Rabbeinu rides on when he goes to Mitzrayim. It's the chamor that Mashiach ben David is going to ride. I guess the connection is they're all related to Geula. The Akedah, of course, is the schus that escorts Klal Yisrael throughout the Golos. Moshe Rabbeinu going to Mitzrayim, that's the Aschal to the Geula. And Ani V'Roichav Al HaChamor, that's Mashiach Ben David. That, of course, is Geula. But what's the rest of the story? What's the history of this Chamor? It's Ben Ha'asayn that was created Ben Hashmashas. So the Ayil that Avram Avinu brought was from that Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. And the Chamor is the son of the Asayn that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. Something to think about. Either way, so we mentioned over here Rabbi Yehuda, that just like Rabbi Yehuda was Moide Bedamim, so too, even though Rav said Mizbeach Sheneka Makdir and Ketaris Memkoimai, his Moide with regards to Damim. My Rabbi Yehuda, who's this Rabbi Yehuda? We learned to the Braisa. Bayoy Mahu Kidesh HaMelech Toichachotza. So Bayoy Mahu is referring to the day that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. And you have to see the pasuk inside. The pasuk is on the side. Bayoy Mahu Kidesh HaMelech is Toichachotzer Asher Lefnei Beis HaShem Ki Yosa Shom Es HaOilu Ves HaMincho Ves Chal Ve Yashlomim Ki Mizbach HaNechoshes. So what did Shlomo HaMelech do? He was Mekadesh the Toichachotzer. Sounds like he was Mekadesh, the Ritzpah, the floor of the Azar. And the reason he did that is because the Mizbeach HaNechoshes was Katan, it was too small. There was Pasha no room on the Mizbeach to bring all the Karbanas that Shlomo HaMelech brought. So being that the Mizbeach was too small, he had no choice, he had to make an extension. The way Shlomo HaMelech made an extension was by sanctifying the floor of the Azara. Now that the Ritzvah Azara has Kedusha, so now you have an extension. You can bring Karbonos on the floor. That's the way the Pasuk reads literally. Says the Gemara, in fact, Dvarim Kichsavon, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that was what the Pasuk means. It's very, very simple. Shlomo HaMelech is bringing Karbonos, so many Karbonos as we're going to see in a moment. There's no room on the Mizbeach to burn all these Karbonos. You can't wait till the next day. It's going to be nicer already. So what are you supposed to do? See, he had to be Mekadesh, the Ritzvah of the Azara, simply so you should have room to do the Haktar. Rabbi Yossi said, I disagree. The Pasuk says, it says that Shlomo HaMelech brought 1,000 oilas. Now this Pasuk of Elef Oilas Yalash Shloima, contrary to what people think, this is an often quoted Pasuk, Elef Oilas Yalash Shloima is not referring to the Yom Chanukah HaMizbeach. To the contrary, it's referring to before the Beis HaMikdash was built, a few years before the Beis HaMikdash was built, when there was a Mishkan in Givvain, Shloima HaMelech brought 1,000 Oilas one day. Now that Mizbeach that he brought the Elef Oilas on was the Mizbeach that the Yidden had in the Mishkan. That Mizbeach that they had in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu Bezalel's Mizbeach, was on that Mizbeach that he went ahead and he brought 1,000 oilas. Okay, and that was okay. there was room for it. There was room to bring 1,000 oilas on that one day. Now, when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, how many karbonos did he bring? Harei Yoyim, the pasuk says, Vayizbach Shlomo Yezevach HaShlomim Asher Lashem, Bokar Esrim Vishnayim Elef, 22,000 Bokar. The Gemara doesn't complete the pasuk. Vitzoin Meyo Ve'esrim Elef, and 120,000 Tzoin. Vayachnechu as Mizbach, as Beis Hashem HaMelech, V'chol B'nei Yisrael. So there were 22,000 Bakar and 120,000 Tzoin. 22,000, 120,000 is 142,000. So says the Gemara, like says Rabbi Yossi, on the old Mizbeach, Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 oilers. Now, how much did he bring? A lot more than 1,000. He brought 142,000. But says, meaning 142 times the amount of karbonos. Bakshat HaMagil, Chesh Ben Oilos, Uleminyan Amos. But says Rabbi Yossi, if you do the math, it's going to come out, Zeh Gadol Mizeh. Really, there's more space on the new Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built than on the Mizbeach and the Choshes from Shlomo. From Moshe. And Rashi makes the cheshbon. Rashi says that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 5 amas by 5 amas. But if you make a cheshbon of how much place there was to actually burn karbonis, meaning you have to minus the kronos, etc., you can end up with 1 ama. It was 1 ama by 1 ama. That's how much space there was. And on 1 ama by 1 ama, Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 oilers. The Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built for the Beis HaMikdash was much bigger. If you make the cheshbon of how much space there was to do Akhtara, it's 20 amas by 20 amas. 20 by 20, that's 400 square amas, as opposed to 1 by 1, which is 1. That means, in terms of space, where you have to bring karbonis, you have 400 times the amount of space on the new Mizbeach than you had on the old Mizbeach. If Shlomo HaMelech was able to easily bring 1,000 oilers on the old Mizbeach, he should have been able to bring 400,000 oilers back to the envelope arithmetic on the new Mizbeach. How many did he bring? 142,000. There should have been enough space for it. It shouldn't have been a problem. Even though 142,000 sounds like a big number, but at the same time, if you do the math, if he was able to bring 1,000 on the Mizbeach, Nechayshus of Moshe Rabbeinu, why couldn't he bring 142,000 over here? So it says, Rabbi Yossi, I disagree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. The Psokim are not Kichsovim. They're not supposed to be taken literally. What does it mean that the Mizbeach was too small? It means something completely different. We're not talking about the new Mizbeach. We're talking about the old Mizbeach. The old Mizbeach, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, was deemed to be too small, too short, so to speak. It's like somebody will say about someone else, you know, he's nanos, he's too small, he can't do the avodah. He's not really too small, he's really puzzle. But we want to be fine, we don't want to say he's puzzle. So we say he's too small from doing it. It's in the same vein that the Torah, at that point, Shlomo HaMelech had disqualified Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. Up until that point, any time a carbon was brought, it was brought on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. They had it in the Midbar, they had it all the years that they were in the Mishkan, and Shiloh, and in Noiv, and Givon. But now that Mizbeach was going to be possible, so instead of saying the Mizbeach was rendered possible, what do we say? It was said that it was too small. But really, we're not talking about the new Mizbeach, because the new Mizbeach wasn't too small. The new Mizbeach was able to handle at least 400,000 oilers. And all they brought was 142,000. So it shouldn't have been a problem. Says the Rabbi Yehuda, Shapa, come Rabbi Yossi. Didn't Rabbi Yossi make a good cheshbon? How could Rabbi Yehuda hold that the new Mizbeach was too small? If the old Mizbeach was able to bring 1,000, why can this handle 142,000? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda l'tameitz, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, and Rabbi Yossi l'shitasai, a whole other price. That Mizbeach Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was really much bigger. Tanya, under the price of Chamesh Amos Oirich, the Chamesh Amos Roichid, Varn, because of the Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mizbeach, Achitzoin, that was in the Mishkan, was 5 amas by 5 amas. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even though that's what it says, it's not what it means. Nemakan Ravua, and Nemalahal Ravua. It says Ravua over here, and it says Ravua in a Pasuk in Yecheskel, when Yecheskel's describing a Mizbeach. Now, usually you think that Yecheskel's Navua is about the Beis HaMikdash or referring to the Bayis HaShlishi. There's an interesting Rashi here. Rashi says it's referring either to Bayis or to Bayis Shlishi. It's not Bayis Rishon, because Yecheskel lived at the end of Bayis Rishon. So it's either describing Bayis Sheni or Bayis Shlishi. But regardless, in that context, it says the word Revuah. Just like all the measurements that Yecheskel was discussing, you were supposed to measure from the middle, meaning it's that measurement from the middle in each direction, the Gemara will explain. So too, when we say that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 5 amas by 5 amas, it means from the middle of the Mizbeach it was 5 amas. So if you're at the midpoint, you can go 5 amas in each direction, meaning it's not 5 by 5. It's really 10 by 10. What do you see in Yecheskel? That all Yecheskel's measurements are from the middle. The Chsiv, the Ha'ariel, Shteim Esrei Amo. It says the Ariel is Shteim Esrei Amo. B'Shteim Esrei
Reichav Ravua El Arbas Revav. So it says Shteim Esrei Oirech, Beshteim Esrei Reichav, Ravua El Arbas Revav. So the Brisa explains. When it says Shteim Esrei, it means L'chol Ruach. Maybe it means the entire area is 12 by 12. K'shoim El Arbas Revav, Malamed Shemei Emzahu Moedin. In all directions, it's 12. So it's, even though it says 12, it's really 24. So to over here, even though it says 5, it's really 10. If it's 10 by 10, then the area of the Marocha of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech was much bigger. It didn't just have one Amma. Rashi says the Cheshbon is, if you do the math, it's going to end up with 6 Ammas. So it's 6 by 6, which is 36 Ammas. If that's the case, how much bigger is Shlomo HaMelech's new Mizbeach versus Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach? Moshe Rabbeinu's is 6 by 6. That's 36. Shlomo HaMelech's is 20 by 20, which is 400. 400 is approximately 11 times bigger than 36. 36 times 11 is going to be 396. So it's approximately 11 times bigger. If that's the case, then you have a cheshbin that if Moshe Rabbeinu's Bizbeach can handle 1,000 oilas, then Shlomo should be able to handle at least 11 times more than that, which is 11,000. How much did it handle? 142,000. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's Taino. Rabbi Yehuda says, no way it could have done that. That's what the pasuk means. It was too small, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech had to be Mekadesh, the Ritzpah of the Azara. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi. Does Rabbi Yossi not hold of the Gzeir Shavah, Ravua, Ravua? Rabbi Yehuda had a Gzeir Shavah, that even though it says the Mizbeach was 5 by 5, really it was 10 by 10. How does he come to 10 by 10? Because he has a Gzeir Shavah. He has a Gzeir Shavah between the word Ravua that it says there in the Parsha and the word Ravua that it says by Yecheskel. What about Rabbi Yossi? He also holds an Gzeir Shavah, but he holds the Gzeir Shavah was applied to the height. Rabbi Yossi, he got Gzeir Shavah, but goyva hu de gomer. And it's not Ravua Ravua from the Mizbeach Achitzin of the Mishkan to Yecheskel's Mizbeach, but rather it's Ravua Ravua, the Gzeir Shavah is to a different place, to the Mizbeach HaPnimi of the Mishkan. It's from the Mizbeach Achitzin in the Mishkan to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and it teaches me Halacha regarding the height. The Pasuk says that the Mizbeach Achitzin was supposed to be 3 Amos tall. Rabbi Yehuda says, literally. Here, Rabbi Yossi says, Nemakan Ravua, he's the one that has the Gzeir Shavah. Just like but the Mizbeach HaPnimi where it says Ravua, the height was twice the length and the width, because the Mizbeach HaPnimi was 1 Amma. It was very small. It was 1 Amma by 1 Amma, and the height was 2 Ammas. So the ratio between the height and each one of its walls was 2 to 1. Afkan Pishnayim Karkai. So too says Rabbi Yossi here too, it had to be 2 times. And being that what was the square according to Rabbi Yossi of the Mizbeach Achitza, and it was 5 by 5. Rabbi Yehuda held it was 10 by 10. Rabbi Yossi held it was 5 by 5, and the height had to be 2 times that. So the height is going to end up being 10, and that's what Ravu Ravu teaches me. Sokta Gemara Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Valoi Kfar Nemar Vesachotzer Meya Amo Vekoyim Chamish Amos. According to you, Rabbi Yossi, it comes out that the height of the Mizbeach Achitza was double the measurements of its walls. And being that the length and the width, it was a square, was 5, so the height was 10. You know that Ravua Ravua, that's what you use Ravua Ravua for. I, Rabbi Yossi, use Ravua Ravua to tell me that it wasn't 5 by 5, it was 10 by 10, just like by Yecheskel, Me'am Tziyasi, Hayumayidi. You use Ravua Ravua to teach you a halacha regarding the height of the Mizbeach. That just like the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the height was 2 times, it was a 2-to-1 ratio. So to the height of the Mizbeach HaChitzin is a 2-to-1 ratio as well. So if the Mizbeach HaChitzin is a square 5 by 5, the height is going to be 10 Amos. Freik Rabbi Dakasha to Rabbi Yossi. The pasuk says, "Vesachotzer meya amos, v'koyim chamish me amos." That the height of the chotzer that surrounded the Mishkan was 5 Amos. The Mizbeach we're saying now was 10 Amos. If that's the case, Efshe Koyin Omer Agabim Mizbeach, the Koyin was standing on the Mizbeach, doing the Haktara, v'avoyde biyadai cholam rayinai said bechotz. Everybody sees him doing it, and for some reason, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like it. Rabbi says, it doesn't make sense. What, everybody sees the Kohen doing the Avodah Bereish on his Mizbeach? Maybe it's Tznius. It doesn't make sense. I'm not comfortable with that. Meaning, if the height of the Chatzar is 5 Amos, and the height of the Mizbeach is 10 Amos, and the Kohen is standing on top of the Mizbeach, obviously doing what he needs to do, so you could see right in. That means the Yidden could be standing outside. You don't even need binoculars. It's so simple. You can just stand,
clearly, and you know exactly what's. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a fundamental problem with that. Rabbi Yossi told Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree with you. What are you? No way. You're right. The pasuk says that the koyma, the height of the kalei achatzer, of the eerie that surrounded the chatzer, the curtains that surrounded the chatzer, were 5 amas. But was it really 5 amas? V'aloik v'arnemer v'es kalei achatzer v'es masach shara achatzer asher ala mishkan v'ala mizbeach. That the purpose of the klaim was to surround the krushim that surrounded the mishkan. Now, how tall were the krushim? Not mishkan yod amas. The krushim themselves were 10 amas. Af mizbeach yod amas. There's no way that these kla'im were any shorter than the krashim. And if the krashim were 10 amis, then the kla'im must have been 10 amis as well. But Imran, the pasuk says, by the way, Rabbi Yossi continues, it says, kla'im chamesh esrei ama ela kosef. It says clearly that the kla'im were 15 amis. So your whole kash is predicated that you have a pasuk somewhere that says that the kali achatzar are 5 amis. If I hold them, zvech is 10 amis, the kind that's standing at the time is zvech, everybody could see it. And it's not mashma that everybody should be able to see in while the kohen is doing the avodah. But says Rabbi Yosef, let's take 2 steps backwards. You're right, the pasuk says that the kali achatzah is 5 amas. But at the same time, could it really be 5 amas? Number one, the krushim of the mishkan were 10 amas. The chura, the kali achatzah, have to be at least the height of the krushim of the mishkan. And besides, I have a pasuk that says the kali achatzah were 15 amas. So how do you make sense of all this? Very simple. The answer is very simple. It means misvas mizbeach ulamayla. Very geschmack. It's lishitosi. I hold that the mizbeach was 10 amis, just like the mishkan. And the kalei achatzah were really not 5 amis, 15 amis. So when you have that one pasuk that says 5 amis, a little misleading, but what it means is it's 5 amis from the svas amizbeach. Bottom line is, umatam alayma vishalish amis kumas. Rabbi Yossi explained, if the mizbeach was really 10 amis tall, he learned that from the gzeir shava ravua, that had to be 2 times. Then what does the pasuk mean when it says Sholish Amish Kamas? It means Misfas Soiviv Ulamaila. The Soiviv, which was at the 6 Amma point of the Mizbeach, up until the Kronos, which made up the last Amma, the distance between 6 and 9 is 3. That's what it's referring to. Rabbi Yehuda, what did he do with the Gzeir Shava Ravur Ravua? So we had that already on the Tesla base. Kigam Gzeir Shava, Birachba Hudakagamer. He learned the Gzeir Shava. The Gemara is just hazarding this point, not to teach me the height of the Mizbeach Achitzan. He didn't learn it from the Mizbeach Apnimi, but rather he learned it from the Mizbeach of Yechazkel. Ulu Rabbi Yehuda, hakam eschazi koyin. Why is Rabbi Yehuda not worried about the fact that you could see the koyin? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the height of the chatzar, of the curtains of the chatzar, was really only 5 amas. And the Mizbeach was 3 amas. The koyin is standing on top of the mizbeach. Shouldn't you be able to see in? So Gemara says that you could see in a little bit, but nehi the koyin mischazi avoided the biyada loy mischazi, because there isn't that. It's 5 amas is the kali achat. So the koyin, the mizbeach is 3 amas. The koyin standing. So yeah, you could see the koyin's head. You could see part of the koyin, but you can't actually see the avoida. Rabbi Yehuda had a problem because according to Rabbi Yossi, the mizbeach was 10 amas, and his shita that the kali achat is only 5 amas. The koyin standing on top of the mizbeach, you'd be able to see everything. That's something Rabbi Yehuda had a problem with. But this in and of itself was not something that Rabbi Yehuda had a problem with.